Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Breaking news, the lunatic in the White House is using a helicopter as a backdrop for his agitprop message on Ebola, which is all wrong. Let's listen in.
Experience about how the battle to deal with Ebola is going and how our policies can support the incredible heroism that they are showing. So we don't want to discourage our healthcare workers from going to the front lines and dealing with this in an effective way. Our medical teams here are getting better and better prepared and trained.
Okay, here it goes again. Another cockamamie idea. Here we go again. Everything backwards.
Here in the United States. But in the meantime, we've got to make sure that we continue to provide the support of health workers who are going overseas to deal with the disease where it really has been raging. It's also important for the American people to remind themselves that only two people so far have contracted Ebola on American soil.
It would be zero if we didn't have an open borders policy, though, Mr. President.
Contracted it in West Africa. Today, both of them are disease-free. I met with one of them, Nina Pham.
Okay, I can't listen to him anymore. My heart's pounding. Turn it off. Unless he says something unique. Welcome to the Savage Nation. If that's not bad enough, listen to this. Lawmaker claims plans are in the pipeline to bring non-citizens to the U.S. for Ebola treatment. I am not making this up. I'm not inventing this. We are learning that the president and his mad administrators are planning to bring non-U.S. citizens into the United States with Ebola for treatment. It's not just Congressman Bob Goodlatte. It's Judicial Watch, which is reporting that he is actively formulating plans to admit Ebola-infected non-citizens for treatment. I'll ask you the question. Should we bring non-citizens to the U.S. for Ebola treatment? And why? Or why not? Now let's turn the madman back on.
In many cases, by Americans, working in coordination with those countries to make sure that we did not see an outbreak there. So the point is that this disease can be contained. It will be defeated. Progress is possible.
Wow.
But we're going to have to stay vigilant, and we've got to make sure that we're working together.
How much money do you want for
the
election? We
have to keep leading the global response.
How much do you need for the immediate, for the coffers of the Democrats that you can skim off the Ebola scare?
And if we don't have a robust international response.
All right, how much do you want from the taxpayer? Cut to the bottom line.
We are actually endangering ourselves here back home.
Rubbish. Close the borders. Institute a travel ban and there's no danger. End of story.
And dedicated to go over there in a really tough job, that they're applauded, thanked, and supported.
What does it have to do with them?
That should be our priority.
What are you going on and on about doctors and nurses now? What is this about?
Come back. They are being monitored in a prudent fashion. But we want to make sure that we understand that they are doing God's work over there.
Now it's God. Now he brought God into it.
Safe.
Soon he'll wrap himself in an American flag.
And I want to make sure that every policy we put in place is supportive of their efforts. Because if they are successful...
Does anyone know what he's talking about? I don't understand what he's saying at all.
America, in the end, is not defined by fear. That's not who we are.
Well, it's not defined by a communist either. It's not defined by a lunatic internationalist either.
And we see a challenge, then we fix it.
What do you mean we? Go over there and do it yourself. What do you mean we go fix it? You took 4,000 poor men and women and forced them into an Ebola zone. What do you mean we fix it? They went against their will.
And judgment. And making smart decisions. That's how we have built this country and sustained this country.
We have built the country that you hate?
That's why
the country
America
that you hate, we built?
Because we're not afraid when challenges come up.
Oh, now suddenly he's an
Thanks
American.
To our military,
a great American,
medical,
Barack Obama.
Professionals,
the men I don't know what he's talking about to you,
Africa,
other than he's going to skim money off for the Ebola racket.
Continues. and we're going to keep on making progress, and we are going to solve this particular problem just like we've solved every other problem.
Do you have any idea how absurd this is?
But it starts with us having the
Do you have any idea what egotism it takes to say that he's going to defeat a virus that's raging out of control? Do you understand? I don't have the words for it right now, but I will in a few minutes.
In large part because we've got extraordinary Americans with experience, talent,
dedication. Okay, turn off the sound, but I got to say something. This is an example of a clinical case of megalomania that that belongs in a textbook. Here is a man who has gamed the system from the day he was born, or who has had the system gamed for him, and so he has the idea that because he can nullify a population, because he can nullify the press, because he can nullify the Republican Party, he can now nullify the Ebola virus. He thinks the Ebola virus are the Republicans in check pants, and simply by yelling at them and frightening them, he can get the Ebola virus to hide. This is megalomania on a clinical level. Now let's go back, because I don't know if anyone else sees this.
Voluntarily, it's part of their mission that's been assigned to them by their commanders and ultimately by me, the commander-in-chief. Whoa. So we don't expect to have similar rules for our military as we do for civilians.
Meaning they're not listening to you.
By definition, if they're in the military, under more circumscribed conditions.
In other words, the military is balking. They're not following your insanity. In plain English, they stood up to you.
From their loved ones and so forth, to go over there because they have very particular expertise to tackle a very difficult job. We want to make sure that when they come back, that we are prudent, that we are making sure that they are not at risk themselves or at risk of spreading the disease.
Right, so that applies to the military, but not to the nurses and doctors? That makes great sense, doesn't it?
Because if we do, then we're just putting another barrier on somebody who's already doing really important work on our behalf. And that's not something
that
I think any of us should want to see happen.
Has he crossed the line here? Has the guy walked through a barrier of sanity? Let me hear a little bit more of this, see how much we can take, unless the feed drop. Oh, he's walking away. The great man, Albert Schweitzer Obama, is now walking back to his helicopter. The only thing missing is a white coat and a stethoscope. The only person not with him is Anthony Fauci. And I don't know, the other guy. I don't remember his name. I never heard anything like this. Listen to what he just said. Listen to the insanity of Obama's speech. By the way, welcome to the Savage Nation. I was going to lead with this question. The lunatic is wanting to bring non-citizens to the United States for Ebola treatment. Now, many of you don't understand epidemiology. I do, because my PhD is in nutritional ethnomedicine from one of the world's great universities, the University of California at Berkeley. And one of my majors was epidemiology, despite what a fraudulent lawyer who worked in the back rooms of the Justice Department as nothing but a government legal hack would tell you, because he's jealous and he has no talent. I know what I'm talking about. And pick up an Epidemiology 101 textbook, and you will see that the entire administration is upside down on this. That's number one. Number two, he just said that the military will continue to quarantine troops who come back from Africa after working in the Ebola zones. But he said they're different than our doctors and nurses who were so brave. Does that make sense to you? Why are they different? What he was really saying is that there's been a resistance to his insanity by the men in the military who've said enough is enough. You're not going to wipe out the U.S. military on a whim just because you think that they're going to be safe or because you may want to do something even worse. Something's wrong here. I think that there's been sort of a, how do I put it? There's been a palace guard reaction here that's hard to put my finger on. I have no friends in the military. I have no friends in the media. I have no friends in the government. I suspect that this speech was meant to cover his back on the fact that the military is not bending. He probably wanted to come out and say today that not only will our nurses and doctors, our brave nurses and doctors, not be quarantined, because I don't want them to, but the military has lifted its quarantine on troops. But he couldn't say that because the military has not lifted its quarantine on their troops that Obama's forcing to work at risk of their lives in these Ebola-ridden nations. Do you understand that? And so the military has stood up to him, which is, as far as we can tell, is the first time any element of the government has ever stood up to this this psycho. I don't know what else to say. Something is wrong here. There is something wrong with the picture. I'm trying my best to put my finger on it for you on the Savage Nation. But this big report that came out on Fox News that Obama is planning to bring non-citizens to the U.S. for Ebola treatment is the big story today. Do you think we should bring non-citizens to the U.S. for Ebola treatment? Now it gets even worse. There's rumblings out there where Chicago activists, African-Americans, have turned on Obama. Chicago activists who are African-American have turned on Obama. They have said, my life has been hurt by Democrats. It's because of you, Mr. President. Why should my people even go out to vote? These are African-American men in Chicago standing up to the fraud in the White House. They see it for what it is. It's unheard of. It just happened. We have the videotape. It's unbelievable what is going on in this country. The president is a man under siege. His own party wants nothing to do with him. Wherever he appears, the candidates' poll numbers drop by 6 to 8 points. They are in free fall. Everyone in America knows this. Now, that's political, and it's well and good. That's how politics work. Okay, they rise from the ashes, and then eventually they go back where they came from. Often, they rise like a phoenix, and they fall into the ashes. His star has fallen, but he plans to bring Ebola-stricken patients from other countries to this nation for treatment. We don't even have the facilities for it. That's number one. But it gets even worse. Are you ready for this one? This came out minutes ago. Play the breaking news sounder. This just came out minutes ago. Let's hear the breaking news. Okay, this is breaking news for the Savage Nation. Citizenship and Immigration Service employees plead, don't let Obama's massive unilateral amnesty go through. In a message to the American people, the president of the union, representing 12,000 United States Citizenship and Immigration Service adjudicators and personnel, is warning about President Obama's plans for executive amnesty. The statement obtained in advance by Breitbart News finds National Citizenship and Immigration Services Council President Kenneth Palinkas highlighting the recent USCIS draft solicitation for materials for up to 34 million green cards and work authorizations. The government itself recognizes we have a rogue president who has gone rogue. He's gone rogue not only on the American people, not only on his own party, he's gone rogue on his own policies. And let me say something else. Do you know right now it's a federal crime to, counterfeit green cards? If a person, a criminal, is caught printing green cards, and there's plenty of them doing it, the FBI will break them up, or the Secret Service, and arrest them for making fake green cards. Now, what is the difference between a guy in the Bronx knocking out green cards on a machine in the back of a garbage store, and the President of the United States authorizing printing fraudulent green cards for 34 million citizens without any screening whatsoever? Tell me the difference between someone running a print mill in the back of a store in the Bronx and the President of the United States. On that pleasant note, we're open for business. The phone number is 855-407-2282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Can we just all chip in and buy him a T-Bird and a surfboard? Maybe a couple of doobies on the beach in Santa Barbara would calm him down. And maybe he can come back to his good senses. But something's going to happen as sure as I'm sitting here. There's stresses coming up from the mud that I can read. I can read the tea leaves as well as anyone, if not better. The military standing up to Obama on this Ebola deal indicates to me, along with the Citizenship and Immigration Service employees pleading don't let Obama's unilateral amnesty for 34 million illegals go through, means that the government itself has awakened to what I've been telling you for the last 6 years, and which I spell out in 300 pages and Stop the Coming Civil War, which is that we have a lunatic in the White House, in plain English. Now, if you care to comment on any of this, because I think that his speech just now indicated a tortured soul and a lost soul who is so out of his realm that everything he said contradicted what he said 2 minutes before. I saw that. WABC David, what did you hear in the president's speech 10 minutes ago?
I heard somebody completely deny the facts, because the way I look at it, if a healthcare professional wants to help people out in these Ebola-stricken countries, why would he run even a 1% chance of bringing it back to the United States? Now, I don't think these people want to do it, but if the law is not going to be there, they don't have to be quarantined, they're not going to. Hearing one or two people said they don't want to be quarantined, but they're just idiots, they're just liberals. But for the most part, if I was a doctor, which I'm not, but if I was and I went to help, I would come back. If I even had one symptom, I'd say, I'd voluntarily give myself up. I got to
do it. Why did that selfish doctor who rode the subway and go to a restaurant and go bowling, why didn't he put himself in mandatory quarantine?
Because people in the media were paying attention to him.
Why is he turned into some great hero? Why didn't he stay in Liberia for 21 days instead of coming back and running around bowling alleys and subways?
Because he went to help people in Ebola-stricken nations.
He's such a good man. He's from Doctors Without Borders, as you well know. You know what their political orientation is, don't you?
They are simply the greatest. But
Doctors Without Borders are the same as Obama. He's a president without borders. He has no borders on his sanity and no borders on the country. Ebola, ISIS is a JV squad. Use the IRS as a weapon. Release Bo Bergdahl. $17.8 trillion in debt and growing. NSA spying. Vets dying due to VA neglect. Solyndra and other false solar companies. It's all in reality.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Question on the table is, should we bring non-citizens to the United States for Ebola treatment? Of course, it violates every rule of epidemiology, every rule of sanity, every rule of survival, but it does not stop. I don't know other words. I hate saying it over and over again. I believe the man has crossed the Rubicon. I think he's crazy. I watched this man speak just now with that pomposity that I become not accustomed to, but let us say offended by regularly. And he stood there saying, we will defeat this disease. Now, what you have to understand is that's an absurd statement unto itself. What do you mean defeat the disease? How do you do that? It's raging out of control in Africa. You can't defeat the disease. The first rule of epidemics is that they usually burn themselves out. You try to contain them like a forest fire. But you can't defeat them. It's absurd. I don't know who's feeding this information. But if you look at a basic epidemiology textbook, you can do that on your own by going to, you know, Google it somewhere. The first thing you're going to learn is the father of epidemiology was John Snow. And what was going on is that he was a regular country doctor, John Snow, and people were dying from cholera in London during 1848 and 1849, 1853 and 54. No one knew why they were dying from cholera. But he was the first to note an association between the source of drinking water and the deaths. So what he did was he compared cholera deaths in districts in England with different water supplies. And he showed that both the number of deaths and the rate of deaths were higher among people supplied their drinking water by the Southwark Water Company. And on the basis of John Snow's meticulous research, Dr. Snow constructed a theory about the communication of infectious diseases, and he suggested that cholera was spread by contaminated water. Remember, no one knew that. And so he then encouraged improvements in the safety of the water supply long before it was discovered which organisms were responsible for cholera. That's how far-reaching this country doctor's observations had on public policy. So what does that tell us? It tells us that common sense in epidemiology says that you identify the source of the disease. And what you do is you try to stop that source of disease. In this case, it's a little too late for that. It's alleged to have come from carrion, meaning monkeys or non-human primate meat that's fallen on the jungle floor that these pieces of meat were infected with the Ebola virus, and the people who ate it, God knows if they even cooked it, I don't know, became infected with the virus and then passed it from one person to another. So it's way past looking at the cause. Now we're at a new level of epidemiological problem. The first rule of an epidemiological problem is how do you limit the disease, obviously. The idiots advising the president are saying, not only should we bring Ebola patients to America for treatment, which makes no sense, violates every rule of epidemiology, guaranteed to increase risk, not decrease risk in America, right? But in addition to that, he's making other fundamental errors. The word epidemiology is derived from the Greek words epi upon, demos people, and logos study. What does that mean? Epi upon, demos people, and logos study. And so you study a disease, but we're way past studying the disease. We know the disease exists, and we know it's spreading. We know over 10,000 people have the Ebola virus. They didn't catch it, Mr. President. They didn't catch it. They contracted Ebola. We know the causation of the disease. We know how it spreads, Mr. President. And the only differential here is that you're saying definitively that it cannot be spread casually while the evidence does not support that. And I will raise one question. If it's so difficult to spread casually, Mr. President and Dr. Fauci, how is it that the doctor who was brought back here for treatment, contracted Ebola even though he was following every one of your protocols, Mr. Fauci, wearing a biohazard suit, not touching bodily fluids? How did he catch it, Dr. Fauci, if it's so hard to catch? The answer is you don't know. And since you don't know, the prudent act, Dr. Fauci, is to say I don't know, and therefore because I don't know, I will act with caution. Instead, Dr. Fauci, you have thrown caution to the wind, and you're following the protocols of a lunatic in the White House who wants open borders and free travel between countries. Both are tremendously risky, as we all know. Whether you've gone to high school or not doesn't matter. You know, commonsensically, if you have an individual with a common cold, if you have someone with a common cold in a neighbor's house, would you go to that house and bring the person with the raging common cold into your house for treatment? I mean, that's what Obama's saying. Bring people in with the common cold into your house and treat them in your house. Why? Why? Send a doctor to treat him in his house. That's Africa. Treat him there. So that's a little primer on epidemiology that I gave you here on the Savage Nation. It's not that difficult to follow because common sense would have done the same thing. But the question is, why is the military standing up to Obama finally? How are they able to get after he's the commander-in-chief, he just reminded us. In fact, he stood in front of a green helicopter. You talk about agitprop. He is so desperate that he needs a helicopter behind him to remind us he's president, or else we wouldn't know. Stood out there in front of a helicopter, and in the middle of the speech, Neil, do we have that part of the speech, Neil? Oh, well, where is he? Well, what do we have? You know, change military, but just run it. Military
is in a different situation, obviously, because they are, first of all, not treating patients. Second of all, they are not there voluntarily. It's part of their mission that's been assigned to them by their commanders and ultimately by me, the commander-in-chief. So we don't expect to have similar rules for our military as we do for civilians.
Did you listen to what he just said? They're not treating patients? Then how come a number of them are right now in quarantine in Italy, including the commander of the entire division that was sent over there? They're not treating patients. Why not just bring them back? Have them over to the White House for a drink. Since you can't catch it. See, if you can't catch it easily. Catch it. I love the word catch. It shows ignorance, stupidity, arrogance beyond belief. You can't catch it. Very hard to catch. Then why not invite all those military people who are in quarantine in Italy right now over to the White House for a party and a drink? French fries, some of the fine wines that you're famous for that has now been hidden from the public to make us think that you're just one of us. The fine wines that you serve up there like the Romanovs. Why not bring them over for a party to show us that it's safe and have Anthony Fauci there and the head of the CDC? have all of the health department chiefs from America come there and dance with the troops as they come back. Kiss them on the lips, even in front of the cameras. Because it's very hard to catch, isn't it? And then he made another lie. He said they're not over there treating disease. That's why they're being quarantined. Did you listen to that one? The rules are different for the military, he said. One, because they're not treating disease. So if they're not treating disease, why are they in quarantine in Italy? Because the generals who are in charge of the troops and have their safety in mind, as you know, a great leader cares about the young men who serve him. That's something the commander-in-chief doesn't understand in the White House. And some of the generals still have the duty honor country logo in their brain. And they want their boys to be protected. They don't want them to die from Ebola. And so they realize that they have to put them in quarantine because some of them may have contracted the Ebola virus somewhere in their work in Africa. Now, we don't know what they're actually doing. He said they're not actually treating patients. Well, what are they doing? Well, we can assume they're building hospitals, let's say. So the prudent thing is, even if you're building a hospital in an infectious zone, you go into quarantine for 21 days to make sure you did not contract the virus. Let us say how. Now, how could you contract the virus while building a hospital? To the extent that the military chiefs have decided to put their men in quarantine against the wishes of the commander-in-chief. Well, let's use our common sense. They're building care centers for Africans in Liberia, right? To build it, I'm sure that there's local personnel who are helping them, carrying the lumber, bringing the nails. I don't know what else the local people must be doing. They must be helping somehow. So therefore, there's a potential disease transmission, right? There's an etiological transmission route between the locals who must be helping our troops build the care centers. So the general said, wait a minute, if they're not treating, but they're being exposed to people here in Liberia, one way or the other, food is coming into the service centers for the troops, unless they're flying it in from America. I don't know. Perhaps Obama wants it to all be local food because he doesn't want to insult the Africans. You never know. He could be forcing them to eat Liberian food. We don't know. For all I know, bushmeat is on the menu now for the troops in order not to offend the locals. But let's assume it's not bushmeat, that the food's being flown in. But still, locals are helping our troops build these care centers, these little mini care. So therefore, our troops are being exposed, potentially exposed, to the virus in a casual manner. Now, although Obama definitively says it cannot be spread casually, the military knows otherwise. They suspect that it could be. There are reports that it could be aerosolized, it could be in droplets in the air. It's logical that it could be, and you would take a prudent step to rule that possible transmission route out, wouldn't you? Of course you would if you were a logical, prudent man. But if you're not a logical, prudent man, and you're an ideological psycho who has squashed everyone in his way in his entire life, he has defeated every institution and every individual that has ever stood in his path to power. This path to power was, of course, the skids were greased for him. But in these 6 years, his megalomania has reached a new height. He's crushed the Republican Party. They're as meek as a church mouse. You don't hear them, do you? Not a word, nothing, zero, 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 zero. The party of check pants golfers, the Republicans. Our only hope, by the way, are the check pants. Oh, God, save us all. Imagine this, that I had to write a whole book telling you to vote for Republicans. I had to say that. You know what I had to do to say that? I said, there's no alternative. We can't create a third party. It's too late. We can't not vote. It's too late. So we have to sweep the others out of office. But nevertheless, so he's nullified every institution in America. He's nullified the press. He's nullified the Republicans. And he now gets up there and weirdly says, we're going to defeat this disease. Do we have that cut? No, of course we don't have that. Man's busy on an iPhone, so we won't have many cuts in this segment. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
The military is in a different situation, obviously, because they are, first of all, not treating patients. Second of all, they are not there voluntarily. It's part of their mission that's been assigned to them by their commanders and ultimately by me, the commander-in-chief. So we don't expect to have similar rules for our military as we do for civilians.
Do you understand the illogic of what he just said? Raise your hand if you understand the backwards statement that he just made. It's the military who is quarantining the troops who work in Liberia. And he just said, well, they follow different rules because they're not treating patients. So why would the generals quarantine them if they're not treating patients, while the commander-in-chief refuses to quarantine healthcare workers who are treating patients? Because the commander-in-chief is insane. When I say insane, it doesn't mean you have to be babbling and running from the mouth with drool. You could look nice, wear a nice suit, be fit, have a nice haircut. But you could be crazy. The man could be totally illogical. I once told you that it's been said that hell is a place where there is no reason. It's becoming hellish to listen to this man. There is no reason in what he just said. Does anyone listening to this show agree with the president that we should be bringing non-citizens to the U.S. for Ebola treatment? Now, he didn't say that in that speech, but that's what we're hearing. And we haven't gotten to the incredible video of African Americans in Chicago turning on Obama in large numbers. Somebody put together a list of all the ways that the Democrats have damaged America. And the list starts like this: Ebola, ISIS as a JV squad, the IRS targeting, Iraq, Benghazi, and Libya, releasing Bo Bergdahl, $17.8 trillion in debt and growing, NSA spying, vets dying due to VA neglect, Muslim brothers in the White House, fast and furious guns to Mexico, false solar scams like Solyndra, Obamacare website, you can keep your doctor if you like him, amnesty for 20, 30, 40 million illegal aliens on the spigot. Muslim terrorism is workplace violence, never terrorism. The DREAM Act, where he gave citizenship to illegal aliens from Mexico. Telling America you didn't build that. Telling America that these are shovel-ready jobs. Telling America we'll be respected again when I'm president. Appointing Eric Holder to the attorney generalship. Sending a larger delegation to Ferguson, Missouri thug's funeral than to Prime Minister Thatcher's funeral. Blocking the Keystone XL pipeline. Closing down the World War II Memorial. Shall I go on? Much of this is to stop the coming Civil War. Certainly not Ebola. The book preceded that. So you say, well, who am I going to really convince? Because virtually everyone you know is probably not conservative. My guess is if you listen to the show, you listen alone. I know families are broken right now. The families are divided in America like they were divided once during the Civil War, the real Civil War. Did you know that brother fought brother, cousin fought cousin? Did you know that? I don't think you understand what happened then and how dangerous the times that we are living in are right now, where the country is divided so severely. And they've been divided on purpose by this administration whose entire MO, modus operandi, is divide and conquer. Keep people pitted against each other and they will not know really what you're doing. They won't follow your scams. In plain English, it's a method of taking your eye off the ball of larceny, the larceny that's being conducted on a global scale unlike any you've ever seen in your life. Larceny at levels we can hardly imagine. The only parameter that we know of is the national debt. That national debt of $17.8 trillion indicates the level of larceny of this administration. It's as though the Sopranos took over America. And they've busted out the sporting goods store, run up the credit on the credit cards. So what's the next store they're going to vampire parasitize? Well, it's all in Stop the Coming Civil War. Convert a neighbor, convert a friend, convert a liberal wife, get them to vote R. Then our work begins.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation, broadcasting live from San Francisco, California, where an illegal alien executed two sheriff's deputies the other day up in Placer County near Lake Tahoe. And we lay the blame squarely at the foot of the Democrat Party USA because of their amnesty policies. The responsible party for this illegal alien killing two deputy sheriffs in cold blood lies squarely at the foot of Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, and Jerry Brown, in the minds of everyone who knows why this happened and how it happened. Today we are talking about the madman in the White House on the Savage Nation. We learned this morning that the president and his administration of not-so-merry pranksters are planning to bring non-citizens to the United States for Ebola treatment. Can anyone listening to this show tell me why that makes sense? Can anyone tell me why they shouldn't be treated in their own country? Can anyone tell me why this Chicago activist continues to do this? Can anyone tell me that you don't really think the guy is nuts? Because I think he's crossed the Rubicon of sanity. I've never seen anything like this. And as a student of personality, studying both my own personality for several decades now and the personalities of others, and reading Freud, Engel, Jung, and other psychologists, I would say this is a man who has oppositional defiant disorder at a level I've never seen. It's you see this in children who, when you tell them don't do something, they'll do it in, you know, more strongly. You say don't do it, Johnny does it again and again and again. You say, Johnny, if you do it again, and Johnny does it again and again. Whatever you tell Johnny to do, to not do, you tell Johnny to do it, he won't do it. You tell Johnny to do it, he won't do it. What we have is a president acting like an infant. So he's going against science. He's making the science up. He's violating the primary rules of epidemiology, which I read to you in the last hour. He's violating the science itself by saying he's using science, which is a lie. He's abusing the word science itself by saying he's using science. What does that mean? That's the same scientists who tell you there's global warming when there is no global warming? Is that the same science? The science is proven? When we all know it's not proven? So he's got a bunch of clowns with white coats now? They're the experts now on epidemiology and epidemics and Ebola. They're all world experts. And such experts that are going against the principles of epidemiology. That's how expert they are. So the question is, what do we the people do? Well, there's very little we can do except vote on Tuesday. And when there will be a landslide, I want it to be an earthquake. Say, well, I don't really want to reward the Republicans. They're tepid. They don't stand for borders, language, and culture. They really don't. They will. I can guarantee you that when I get through with them, when they win, and you get through with them, they will be harassed. They will be harried. They will not rest one minute if they go back on their word. If they go back on their word, they will never, ever have another peaceful minute. What's intriguing about this topic, in addition to that, is that the head of the RNC, Rinso Priebus, the lackluster chairman of the Republican National Committee, says that the GOP will stop Obama's un-American amnesty if we win the Senate. Now, he gave this speech to a Tea Party group on Monday evening on the net. And he said, I don't support amnesty. It is wrong. It is un-American for a president to try and do such a thing. He said, there is not a molecule in my body that agrees with the president on executive amnesty. One woman asked Priebus why the sergeant-at-arms hasn't arrested Obama for our wide-open borders. And the head of the RNC handled it like this. He said, I understand there's a little bit of hyperbole, but I understand your point, which is the president's role in the Constitution is to enforce the law. So the president wants to take Article 2 and ignore that part to enforce the law. He wants to be Article 1, which is the legislature, and write all the laws, and then he's appointing all of his judges to take care of Article 3. So the RNC is promising us that when we give them the earthquake on Tuesday, they will then stop the amnesty that Obama's planning for 34 million illegal aliens, including cop killers, no doubt. After all, every one of them is a potential voter. You say, well, come on, he wouldn't want cop killers to be granted a green card. Well, let me ask all you good liberals, how is he going to tell the difference? There aren't enough government workers to screen the 34 million, are there? No, not at all. Nope. Now, why is he sending troops into harm's way, into Ebola-stricken nations? Why? Why is that not the job of African nations to take care of their own problems? I would say send them the money. They have the manpower. In other words, if they're not there doing it, you see, this is another paradox that bothers me. We're told that our military men and women are over there and they're not performing patient care, okay? They have specialty services. What is that, building houses? Building clinics? Are you telling me there aren't construction workers in Africa who could build those clinics? Then why are our men building them? When did our military become a construction crew? What, are they illegal aliens now with hammers and saws that he sent to Africa? They didn't enlist in the military to become construction workers. Why are they there? No one knows. No one has an answer to any of this. So we're in a quandary here on the Savage Nation. If you care to comment, we have some open lines. Let's start in Pittsburgh, PA, with Julie. Julie, thanks for holding so long. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, there was Admiral Lyons, who's a retired admiral with some real credentials, on October 22nd, wrote publicly in the Washington Times calling on military, particularly the Joint Chiefs, to use any authority that they had to stop the madness.
And so do you think that that's why the Joint Chiefs are refusing to follow the Commander-in-Chief's crazy, crazy decisions?
Possible. This guy's credentialed. He used to be the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. And so, you know, once...
Well, I'm surprised that he hasn't been... he's retired, though, isn't he?
He's retired, yeah.
Who's the commander of the Pacific Fleet now? A woman who never drove a lifeboat?
Probably. I don't know. But when somebody with this kind of credential stands up publicly and says, you guys do your job and remember the vow you took, you know, to protect us against enemies foreign and domestic, that's kind of shocking to me.
All right, Julie. So you think it's because they're listening to Admiral Lyons. WFNC, Candy, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Candy, fire away. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'll tell you what really kept my head really, really bad. I'm a military wife, and, you know, this is my question. What happens when my husband comes back due to faulty equipment? You know the government's good for that, right?
Yeah.
And he has Ebola. You know, okay, say that something, God forbid, happens to him. They're going to tell me, I'm sorry, he done the best that he could, you know? But what are they going to tell us when we're exposed to it after he's been exposed to it? No, he's not treating it, but he's exposed to it.
So what is it that you're saying to me?
What are they going to do when all these guys come back home and they have it and they expose it to us?
Well, here's the thing, Candy. I think that you should have less fear than you do for one reason. The generals are quarantining all of the men and women they've sent over there for 21 days before letting them come back to America. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so in those 21 days, if they're symptomatic, they will be treated. And that's a prudent thing for the generals to do. But Obama's so nuts that he won't do that for doctors and nurses. So what I'm saying, Candy, is if I were you, I'd be much less worried than if the military had knuckled under to Obama and said, we're not going to quarantine the men and women. You follow me?
Yeah.
In other words, as much as a burden it is upon you to not have your husband home for another 3 weeks, it's the prudent course of action, Candy. Candy, stay on the line. Someone will take down your name and address, and I'll send you a free copy, hopefully in time for the election, of Stop the Coming Civil War. But I don't think you need to be told not to vote for a Democrat, Socialist, Islamist. 855-400-7282. Carol on KSFO Radio in San Francisco. Go ahead, please.
So I have a question about the quarantine. I'm an RN. I don't claim to be a specialist in this area, but I have heard the CDC doctor this is not the INH guy that seems to be talking lately, but the CDC doctor said that 15% of people that come down with Ebola do not run a fever. So what does this do for that for temperature being one of their first and foremost ways of catching it? It's not.
Well, I guess you'd have to address that question to the commander-in-chief who just spoke with such authority on Ebola. He said that there's no need to quarantine health workers. I guess the commander-in-chief has some other methodology, some secret methodology that Nancy Fauci gave him. I mean, Anthony Fauci gave him.
This knowledge, because...
No, they must have a secret device that we don't know about, invented by the NSA. Some secret government device that can read an Ebola virus without it being detected. Since fever is not one of the things they're looking at, they must have some secret ray that they've developed with Nancy Fauci.
I believe that.
Thanks for the call. I mean, look, sarcasm has its limits. Jonathan Swift is not alive, but he's alive and well here on the Savage Nation. And this is not the Swiftian Nation, it's the Savage Nation. Now let's go to the shock video, Blacks Turn on Dems. This is the top of the Drudge Report. You're not going to believe what you're about to hear. We're not going to play the whole thing now, but we're going to start right now with clip number one on the Savage Nation.
Black folks is in an abusive black leadership relationship.
We have to send a message. This is the time for us to send a message.
We always talking about what the Republicans ain't done for us or what they will do to hurt us. My life has been hurt by Democrats.
And we got in our mind that we always got to keep voting Democrat. You know,
look and see in your community, who are the real oppressors in our community? They always talk about black on black crime. And when you hear the word black on black crime, the first thing you think of is a black man robbing you, a black man breaking in your house. And that is a black on black crime. But let's take it one step further. There's a black on black crime in down in City Hall. There's a black on black crime down in all the state capitals in America where black folks are voting against our interests. Where black folks are voting and making us, we're getting poorer and poorer, and other groups are getting richer and richer.
Everywhere you go, there's poverty in black areas.
This is where I stand at right now, Ida B. Wells, public housing residents who live at. Most of the people at home is living in the street. And it's because of you, Mr. President.
Right, what you're listening to are Chicago activists, African Americans, Paul McKinley, Mark Carter, Joseph Watkins, and Harold Nooney Ward, going on record, delivering a message to black communities across the country saying don't vote for Democrats. They are the problem, not the solution. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Tied into the black activists in Chicago telling black people not to be abused by the Democrat Party anymore, which is actually a milestone in the relationship between the African-American community and the president. By the way, it's a turning point that I've never seen in my life. Alarmed by planned immigration surge, civil rights advocate tells Obama amnesty harms black workers. And that's a top civil rights advocate warned the president that extending executive amnesty to millions of illegal aliens will deeply harm black workers. This is Peter Cursino, who's a U.S. Civil Rights Commissioner, sent a letter to Obama and the Congressional Black Caucus saying that the preparations for 34 million green cards to illegal aliens will hurt blacks the most. He said illegal immigration has a disparate impact on African American men, because these men are disproportionately represented in the low-skill labor force. So now there are two stories in a row of black leaders, both at the community level and at the federal level, turning on President Obama. We have also been talking about the lunacy of the madman in the White House who wants to bring Ebola patients from outside America into this country for treatment. Congressman Bob Goodlatte said that the president is actively formulating plans to bring in Ebola-infected non-citizens to be treated. Why is he doing that? Why would he do that? Why would liberals bring in infected people to America? Why? Well, we had Manic Monday yesterday on the Savage Nation. Now it's Tortured Tuesday. It's getting more torturous every day. If you care to join the conversation, it's 855-400-7282. The two questions are, why have blacks suddenly turned on Obama? Should we bring non-citizens to the U.S. for Ebola treatment? It's that simple. Beverly on WVNN Radio. Go ahead, please.
Yes, if the president is serious about bringing non-citizens into the country to treat them, I want to ask him three questions. One, what's the selection process going to be? There's thousands of people infected. Two, who's going to pay to get them here and pay for their treatment? And three, will they be required to return home once they're well?
So the answer to your questions are as follows. Of course they're never going to return home. They're being brought here to be made into instant citizens. Two, you, the taxpayer, are going to pay for it. And three, there will be no screening whatsoever. That's the Obama way, isn't it?
Well, I guess, is he going to bring everyone infected?
Well, there's 10,000 infected. I don't know. Maybe he'll bring all of them in on some kind of Operation Hope. Maybe he can send cargo planes and bring in 10,000 infected people and tell us that it can't be transmitted casually and don't worry about a thing because he's in charge. Maybe they can ride the New York subway and go bowling when they get here. I don't know what he has in mind. After all, he's being advised by Nancy Fauci and Anthony Fauci, rather, and Nancy Pelosi. And they know everything about the Ebola epidemic. Just listen to them. And there's no chance of, quote, catching the disease unless you hug an Ebola patient, according to them. So don't worry. They're in charge. Well, we got the sound. We got the stories. Here's a latest, another one. Sex with 21 women lowers risk of prostate cancer. Academics fine. That jumped out to me because I said, what do you mean, 20 women at once? Men who had slept with more than 20 women lowered their risk of developing cancer by almost one-third. Oh, they mean over a lifetime. They're not talking about Saudi Arabians of a night's pleasure. I see. It's a lifetime of 21 women, not one night in Saudi Arabia.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, we have breaking news on the Savage Nation. This just in from BBC to this program. Ebola outbreak. Sierra Leone angry at Australia visa ban. Sierra Leone has condemned Australia's decision to suspend entry visas for people from Ebola-affected countries in West Africa, calling them discriminatory and counterproductive. The move to block the travel from the infected nations to Australia has also been criticized by the communists in Amnesty International. And chiming in as well is UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who said travel restrictions will severely curtail efforts to beat Ebola. He means to Sovietize the illness. Nevertheless, as you well know, there are 10,000 people that we know of who have been infected by the virus. 5,000 of them have died. The vast majority of these poor people are in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. But the Australian government, unlike the lunacy in this government, announced on Monday it was canceling non-permanent or temporary visas held by people from the affected countries who were not yet traveling, and that new visa applications would not be processed. Permanent visa holders yet to arrive in Australia must undergo a 21-day quarantine process before departure. Immigration Minister in Australia, Scott Morrison, told Parliament, quote, the government systems and processes are working to protect Australians. But Sierra Leone's propaganda minister, Alpha Kanu, described the move as too draconian and discriminatory, blah, blah, blah. And he said it's discriminatory in that it is not going after Ebola, but rather is going against the 24 million citizens of Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. Certainly is not the right way to go, said the minister. He said, this measure by the Australian government is absolutely counterproductive. Well, I guess the diplomatic pouches will have to be put on hold, won't they? The little pouches that come in from Africa into Australia will have to be put on hold for a while. So you heard it first now in the Savage Nation. Australia has now suspended visas for people from Ebola-affected countries in West Africa. They are protecting Australians. But our madman refuses to do so. Our madman instead is doubling down on his lunacy because he said he is the commander-in-chief. Why is Obama doing this? Does anyone have any idea why he's doing this? I mean, you can come to the glib conclusion that it's... I don't know why, actually. I can't come to a conclusion. I don't think, I mean, they know the science isn't there. They know they're making it up as they go along. It's got to do with the open borders policy, that I understand. The non-travel, refusal to enact a travel ban. I found the answer to that last week. The head of the U.S. Travel Agency Commission, or whatever he is, some lobbyist, commended Obama for not putting in a travel ban. So I think he's just being lobbied by travel agents and airlines who want the business. It's that simple. Meanwhile, the illegal alien who shot two cops to death here in Placer County was twice deported. He killed two sheriff's deputies in cold blood. He's an illegal alien from Mexico who had been deported twice. He killed two wonderful American sheriff's deputies. And Obama has said not one word. La Raza has said not one word. Nancy Pelosi, who washed the feet of illegal immigrants this summer, has said not word. Not word one. Dianne Feinstein, who is in favor of a sanctuary city policy ever since she was a mayor, has said not one word. Jerry Brown, to his eternal disgrace. Jerry Brown, you are eternally disgraced amongst the American police force. I've never seen anything like this. That the governor of this state would not say one word in sympathy with the families of these dead deputy sheriffs, instead continuing to curry favor with the illegal alien lobby. It's unbelievable, Jerry Brown. Frankly, I will never, ever be seen shaking his hand again. I will not. I went to a funeral 2 years ago of a CHP officer, during which the governor of California very kindly agreed to meet with me. And I like Jerry Brown personally. In fact, I donated money to his campaign many years ago because I went to a speech he gave at a military academy, and he was a great supporter of a military academy for inner-city youth. I thought it was a great policy. So I donated some money to his campaign. Frankly, I met the governor 2 years ago at the funeral, and I thought he was a reasonable man, but now I see it's hopeless, totally hopeless. Once they're locked in with the illegal alien lobby, it's over. They can never, ever pull themselves back to the level of sanity. So we're talking about several topics, including this absurd article that came out before the break. Sex with 21 women lowers risk of prostate cancer, academics find. Men who had slept with more than 20 women lowered the risk of developing cancer by almost one-third and were 19% less likely to develop the most aggressive form. So guys will laugh and say, wow, I'll work on the next. But no, they mean over a lifetime. I mean, it was just to catch your attention, right? In contrast, men who had sex with 20 men doubled their risk of developing prostate cancer compared with men who have never had sex with another man. Researchers at the University of Montreal believe that intercourse protects men, and men who are more promiscuous have more sex than those in monogamous relationships. However, for homosexual men, the benefit is lost because of the increased risk of picking up an STD and the damage to their bodies from intercourse. I don't want to spell that out. It's important to note that gay men with just one partner are at no greater risk. Now, what they say, Dr. Marie-Elise Parent says, it is possible that having many female sexual partners results in a higher frequency of ejaculations, whose protective effect against prostate cancer has been previously observed in cohort studies. See, it doesn't really make sense because it's not the partners, it's the ejaculations, by the way. But this is another example of distorted scientific reporting. When Dr. Parent was asked whether public health authorities should recommend men to sleep with many women in their lives, she said, we're not there yet. The study looked at more than 3,200 men over a four-year period between 05 and 09. Overall, men with prostate cancer were twice as likely to have a relative with cancer. Number of sexual partners also affected the development of their cancer. Men who said they had never had sexual intercourse were almost twice as likely to be diagnosed with prostate cancer as those who said they had. But when a man has slept with more than 20 women during his lifetime, there was a 28% reduction in the risk of having cancer. Now, what's wrong with this study, by the way, as a trained epidemiologist, is that they did not factor in, I'll put this in a pleasant family manner, ejaculations without another partner, to put it mildly, which means, you know, blindness and all and going mad. So when you were told you would go blind and mad from self gratification. They should have also told me that you'll go blind and mad, but you'll have a lower risk of prostate cancer. I'm sorry. I need some comic relief. But that would be the proper conclusion. In other words, if you self-pleasure, it goes on. I mean, don't get mad at me. And then they say, well, you go blind and mad. You'll go insane and blind from that. But you'll have a lower risk of prostate cancer. So, I mean, it's one and the other, you know. On the other hand, those who have slept with more than 20 minutes twice as likely to be diagnosed. The risk of having a less aggressive prostate cancer increases by 500% compared to those who have had only one male partner. Wow. So what else? Previous studies have found that sexual intercourse may have a protective effect against prostate cancer because it reduces the concentration of carcinogenic crystal-like substances in the fluid of the prostate. All right, that's something new. The study published in the journal Cancer Epidemiology is the first to find a link between the number of sexual partners and the risk of developing cancer. Quote, we were fortunate to have participants from Montreal who were comfortable talking about their sexuality, no matter what sexual experiences they have had, and this openness would probably not have been the same 20, 30 years ago, blah, blah, blah. So it doesn't seem to be a rational argument for multiple partners, by the way. It's a rational partner for frequent release or relief, whichever way you want to look at it. I mean, that's what it's. Let's not be children about it. It's an adult audience. There's nothing, you know, that's even lewd about this. But the study doesn't make sense. It's not about the sexual partners. They made a false conclusion. See, they're relating it to the number of sexual partners over a lifetime instead of the number of ejaculations, in plain English. See, the proper way to do that study would be to go back retrospectively and do a retrospective analysis. Speaking again now as an epidemiologist, there's such a thing as called a retrospective analysis. It's almost impossible, though, to validate it. They'd have to ask them how frequently, let's say this guy's been married to one woman for 25 years, right? They have to say, how frequently have you had intercourse per year over the years? Then it would be a valid, you know, analysis and comparison. Right now it's comparing apples to walnuts. Well, what do you expect from a Canadian study? I mean, that's like asking, I shouldn't finish this. I'll get in trouble in three different ways going to Sunday. I mean, asking a Canadian researcher on sex to give you a valid study is like asking Obama to give you a valid answer on Ebola. I guess that makes sense. Don't call me on the 21 women thing, lowering the risk of prostate cancer, because we have discussed this before from the point of view of the self-release thing, you know. All right, moving right along on non-breaking news, let's go back to the Chicago activists speaking about how it's the African Americans who are destroying black leadership in clip number one, please.
Black folks is in an abusive black leadership relationship.
We have to send a message. This is the time for us to send a message.
We always talking about what the Republicans ain't done for us or what they will do to hurt us. My life has been hurt by Democrats.
And we got in our mind that we always got to keep voting Democrat. You know,
look and see in your community, who are the real oppressors in our community?
Gee.
They always talk about black on black crime. And when you hear the word black on black crime, the first thing you think of is a black man robbing you, a black man breaking in your house. And that is a black on black crime. But let's take it one step further. There's a black-on-black crime in down in City Hall. There's a black-on-black crime down in all the state capitals in America where black folks are voting against our interests, where black folks are voting and making us, we're getting poor and poor, and other groups are getting richer and richer.
Everywhere you go, there's poverty in black areas.
This is where I stand at right
you
now.
You know, this is an earthquake, what I'm playing for you on this show. You have any idea what you're listening to? Would you ever believe something like this would have happened not only in your lifetime, not only during the regime of the first African-American president, but just days before the most important election in American history? And that leads us to an article that just came out from McClatchy, which is Black Disappointment with Obama Threatens Democrats. Black voters disappointed with President Obama, who they so eagerly embraced for so many years, could be costly on election day to Democrats who badly need a big African-American turnout to win Senate and gubernatorial races in key states. Are you listening to me carefully? Many African-Americans see an unemployment rate well above the national average, continuing problems with crime in many neighborhoods, and a president more interested in trying to help other voting blocs that didn't give him such unwavering support. He talks about same-sex marriage in a nod to the gay and lesbian community. He discusses immigration and its benefits to the Latino community. He fights for equal pay, a vital issue to the women Democrats so avidly courted. But the black community, which gave Obama support like no other group, too often doesn't see the investment paying off. People in this community just don't think anything is going to change, said Akua Scott, a Miami-based labor organizer. So what are they saying? This is a pretty shocking video that was released. It's on the top of the Drudge Report, if you care to look at it. It's the easiest way to find it. Are they saying go out and vote Republican? Did they come to the same conclusion I did in Stop the Coming Civil War, which is just hold your nose and vote for the party of, check pants Republicans? I've never seen anything like this. This is astounding. This is just astounding. Why do you think that this came out now? Why do you think that black activists in Chicago would come out and put out a tape like this right now? Tell me why you think this is happening right now. Why have minorities, especially African-American minorities, finally seen what the Demon Cat Party really is? It's about keeping poor people poor and dependent upon the government. It's that simple. Why are they speaking out now, though? Why have they suddenly come out before the election? Could anyone answer that question? I don't know the answer. I don't understand how these things are happening. And I do know this. I know there's one thing I do know, which is that Obama is so out of touch with reality that he's doing everything wrong just before the election. I mean that. Should we bring non-citizens to the U.S. for Ebola treatment? Of course not. Why have blacks suddenly turned on Obama? Because they've awakened to the fact that he lied to them. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Right, we have another breaking news story. I mean, it's what a day before the election. I've never seen anything like it. I've been on the Savage Nation microphone for 20 straight years. I've never seen anything like this. This just came out from NBC, from NBC's Luke Russert, who said or speculated, really, that Obama's speech today in front of the helicopter on Ebola, the only question that the Presidente took from reporters was coordinated in advance with the help of White House staff. And the question was, why do we have... Well, let's play the sound on the Savage Nation. Listen carefully.
The military is in a different situation, obviously, because they are, first of all, not treating patients. Second of all, they are not there voluntarily. It's part of their mission that's been assigned to them by their commanders and ultimately by me, the commander-in-chief. So we don't expect to have similar rules for our military as we do for civilians. They are already, by definition...
Okay, stop. Do you realize that he makes no logical sense? It's actually counter-logical. He's saying they're not treating patients, but the military's quarantining them, while Obama's nurses and doctors are treating patients, and he refuses to quarantine them. So he answered it in the most backwards, illogical manner. Is anyone out there listening to this as clearly as I am? Well, you're paying me to listen and report. I know what you're doing. You're busy making a living, driving a cab, driving a truck, whatever you're doing. The reason you're listening to me is I'm paid to pay close attention to what politicians say and how they're trying to screw you. It's that simple. Well, let me tell you something. You just got your money's worth. You got your money's worth, but you haven't gotten the truth yet. We're still working on it. The truth of why an insane president is not asked to step down by the Democrat Party, which he's destroying, by the way. Not only is he wrecking the country, he's wrecking the Democrat Party, and they're doing nothing about it. All right, I made my point. You want to bring non-citizens to the U.S. for Ebola treatment? Good luck to you. I don't. It's the Savage
Join
Nation.
The Savage Nation.
Nowhere.
Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Sometimes on a Sunday, when it's early in the morning, I get into my old 1970 Jag XKE. It runs about once a month in between the visits to the mechanic. And I, you know, top's always down in the garage. And I play the Beach Boys. I drive around with the dog. And I say, what happened to the country? Where did it go? When did it disappear? It didn't happen under Obama. I mean, it's escalating under Obama for sure. He was put in here by the international Soviet system. There's no question about that. I mean, look, let's be clear. You know, I've written book after book after book. And Stop the Coming Civil War is a raging bestseller. It's 2 weeks on the bestseller list. Without Martha Washington there on Fox, I don't need her. It's 2 weeks in a row, bestseller, without the legs and the high heels and the lipstick and the nails. But the fact is, it didn't start with Obama, but it might end with Obama. Because there's only so much a nation can take until it breaks down completely. And I believe Ebola is, what's the right word here? I think Ebola may be the final straw where even the average person who has been blinded by their rhetoric of being a workers' party, a minority party, a women's party, a gay party, I think even the average person who has been hoodwinked by Obama has awakened to the fact that he's a complete charlatan. But worse than that, not only does he not have their interests at heart, he may have their counter-interests at heart. They're starting to get the shocking feeling in their entrails that it's something far worse than they ever feared. They actually are starting to realize the man may be demonic. Why else would he be doing some of the things he has done and plans on doing, such as granting amnesty to 34 million illegal aliens, when blacks are saying, wait a minute, we're going to be hurt the most by this, of course. I've said that for years. Why would it be reported today that there are plans in the pipeline to bring non-citizens to the U.S. for Ebola treatment? It's the act of a madman. It's the act of a madman. Nobody on earth would recommend that if they cared about the body politic. And while a bipartisan vote grows to ban Ebola victims from entering the United States, a new report claims that Obama is considering a plan to bring the world's Ebola patients to the U.S. to be treated. It's crazy. It's just crazier by the minute. Then you've got the Chicago black activists saying that their life has been hurt by Democrats. It's because of you, Mr. President. Why should our people even go out and vote? It's an amazing story, and it's got big, big, big power in this election. The question is this, really, in this hour in the Savage Nation, why are we suddenly seeing African-American activists doing this just days before the most important election in our lifetime? I'm going to go to a couple of callers and see what's going on out there in the Savage Nation. Mary on WJR in Detroit. Go ahead, please.
Okay, my reason is because they have gotten your book and they have read your book and they are being the activists about it.
I can't say yes or no. I'd like to believe it. But why should we assume they haven't read Stop the Coming Civil War? I mean, my show is broadcast on WLS in Chicago, by the way, Mary.
Yes.
It's time delayed by only one show. But it's got a huge audience, a powerful audience, even in replay on WLS in Chicago. Why should we assume that intelligent activists, whether they be Democrat or Republican, black or white, are not reading the most important book of our time? Why should we assume that?
Well, because it's come out now. The book just came out about a month or so ago, and they have decided this is their voice. Your voice is their voice.
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I can't determine whether they've read my book or not. I would assume some of the individuals who are activists who are African-American would read a book by an intelligent man who they may not agree with on many policies, but say, well, wait a minute, the guy makes sense on so many issues. Let's see what he has to say. I don't know. It could be so. Mary, have you read the book yet?
I'm reading it now. I bought two of them. I pre-ordered two of them.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. That's a real savagette. You're putting your money where your heart is. Let me send you another free copy for a relative. Just before the election, it should arrive by Friday. Maybe you can convince one person over the weekend to check R instead of D. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Why is Obama bringing Ebola patients into the U.S.? WJR Pat, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, I am a nurse, and I believe that he's doing it to be a hero to the Africans. He wants to find the cure. Make his mark, and I think he's bringing them here And there may even be people who, if you can't explain why healthcare workers contract it, then it may be that they are volunteering to have it and then be treated here. They're not specific about, they'll say they're receiving treatment for Ebola, but they're not specific, but they're stating a cure will be out sometime mid-next year. These predictions are kind of suspicious. And I wonder about...
Well, let's go with the first one, is that he wants to be heroes to the African people. Is that because he wants a real Nobel Prize from K. Bach Moon, the Nobel Committee, which I call the Dynamite Prize, by the way. I've called it the Dynamite Prize for years because Alfred Nobel invented dynamite, and the fortune was made on dynamite. But nevertheless, the Dynamite Prize is only given to worldwide internationalists. You know that.
Yes, he wants to be a world leader. He wants to.
So maybe he wants to go on and run the UN after he is termed out. Is that possible?
I believe so. And the fact that you say he's oppositional defiance, I think there anyone like him who knows medically what they should do, not oppositionally defiant, but deviant. Oppositionally,
you know, doesn't the DSM describe such a disorder as oppositional defiance disorder?
Yes. Yeah.
There is such a disorder in children. Oppositional defiance disorder is an actual condition defined by the nut jobs in the American Psychiatric Association. But if there is such a condition called oppositional defiance disorder, I would say the president suffers from it.
There is. And I also feel the whole, if you want to talk about Chicago and those people protesting, it's the chickens are coming home to roost, and Obama wants them to. He's planted seeds of dissension everywhere, and he would be no more happy than to see his own people rise up and fight, because that's the communist way.
Oh, my God. I mean, really, this is getting diabolical if you believe that. I don't know what to believe anymore, but when a president is so out of touch with logic, scientific method, and reason itself on virtually every issue, and now especially on Ebola, you have to ask yourself why. And it may not be oppositional defiance disorder. It may not even be madness. It could be pure, unadulterated politics. Something's wrong here. Let's go to WJR. We're getting lots of calls out of Detroit right now. Calvin, thanks for listening. Please give us your opinion.
My opinion is, first, I'd like to say I want to apologize to America because I'm an American. I'm a young black man. Actually, I'm on my prime. But I voted for this man, and I believed in him. And I see my life going away. I have grandchildren, so what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to other people's kids? I mean, you bringing people in here, and you ain't even taking care of our own people, Mr. Ebola, so what's going on? You can't even help us, but you're helping everybody else?
So, Calvin, this is interesting. You're saying that you agree with the activists in Chicago who finally raised this herd on Obama, turning on him and the Dems, saying they're abusing the black community. But, you know, I'm on in WJR, Calvin, and there's a large African population in Detroit. You know that. Have you listened to my show for any length of time?
I've been listening to it for the last 9 months. I've been trying to get your book, and it's been wild. It's been
what I'm saying, but when you first listened to me, did you think I was some racist white lunatic?
For a moment there, no, because, see, I've been bought up on this. My dad always told us stuff that this was going to happen, and now it's in my face. You know, I thought it would be like before I pass away. And my
what do you mean all this stuff? You mean this kind of communism, socialism stuff?
Yeah, going to happen. Excuse me.
No, but here's the interesting part. When you first heard me on the radio, how did my message or my voice strike you? What did you think you were listening to?
I got scared. I got
what you thought I was a bad guy or I was right or wrong?
No, it was something I've been told all my life.
Okay, so what you were hearing from me is what your father told you might happen in America eventually.
Yeah, and now it's happening.
Okay, so in other words, it wasn't so alien to you, my message, in other words, in plain English.
Straight, yes. Yes.
Well, you know, Calvin, you and I come from different universes, but we think, let's say, the same way. And people don't understand this, but I've had a very diverse background, and I don't want to sit here and peddle my background here. It's not so odd to me that an African-American man who can think and wants to think would agree with some of my opinions, Calvin. It's really not that odd. My best teachers and I have always gotten along, and most of them were minorities, whether they were Asian or African-American. I always got along with African-American people. And the people who don't know my background don't know anything about my association with African-American people, or let's forget African-American, let's say Melanesian people. I mean, I've lived in villages, and I've slept in villages, and I've eaten in villages that were all black. And I really challenge the people who put me down to compare their background to mine. There's not a scintilla of racism in me. I can guarantee you that those who call me such are the worst racists on the planet. But, Calvin, let me send you a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War, which I hear you cannot buy in Detroit. It's basically banned in Detroit. It's another city where the book is not being ordered or displayed or sold. Would you believe this? I want you to think about something. I mean, again, at the risk of your displeasure listening to this show, I'm not taking a break right now. I'll go to 30. I'm like a salmon who has always been swimming upstream, always, my whole life. Maybe I have oppositional defiance disorder myself. If someone tells me something that I don't agree with, I will defy them. Now, it doesn't mean I'll defy people just out of spite. That's oppositional defiance disorder, is when someone will defy someone just out of spite because they have a disorder where they won't listen to anybody, won't listen to reason, they won't do what's even right for themselves. That's different than me being a salmon swimming upstream. And I've been doing that my whole life. I've always been struggling to get to the promised land. And I've done it for my own life. I've done it for my own family. I've done it for my radio show. And I swim upstream every day. And it's what keeps my muscles flexible. Let's put it to you that way. I don't want to just become one of those floundering white guys who goes off to a golf course and dies from boredom, because that's what happens when you stop swimming altogether. Some of them don't swim upstream against the tide, but against the current, rather. Most old white men just basically drift off and don't exist anymore. They golf, they drink, and they stand for nothing, and they don't understand why their souls have died. So swimming against the current is not a big deal. It's a very healthy thing. But on this program, I've been swimming against the tide, not only, again, against the current, not only of liberal indifference and liberal hostility, but against false conservative hatred. People who paint themselves as conservative but attack me every day openly. I don't understand how you can't see what that really is. But it doesn't deter me, because the truth shall win out. And maybe that's why I identify with minorities and why minorities identify with me. Maybe they understand that not everybody, not of the same background or race, is their enemy. Maybe they understand in my voice and in my very attitude and demeanor that they have more in common with me than they may think. It's as simple as that. Now, I realize that that's a little discursive, what I just said, and a little all over the map, but it's that kind of day. Alarmed by planned immigration surge, civil rights advocate tells Obama amnesty harms black workers. Now, he's a top civil rights advocate, Peter Kersenow, on the Civil Rights Commission. He said the black people will be hurt most by 34 million illegal aliens. So what that caller from Detroit just told you is that his own father told him that one day the New World Order, the socialist New World Order, would select a man, put him in power, and destroy America's borders, language, and culture. And here we are on Tuesday. We have our last chance. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Black folks is in an abusive black leadership relationship.
We have to send a message. This is the time for us to send a message.
We always talking about what the Republicans ain't done for us or what they will do to hurt us. My life has been hurt by Democrats.
And we got in our mind that we always got to keep voting Democrat. You know,
look and see in your community, who are the real oppressors in our community? They always talk about black on black crime. And when you hear the word black on black crime, the first thing you think of is a black man robbing you, a black man breaking in your house. And that is a black on black crime. But let's take it one step further. There's a black on black crime in down in City Hall. There's a black on black crime down in all the state capitals in America.
Can you believe what you're hearing?
Voting against our interests.
Can you believe what you're hearing? This appeared this morning on YouTube, posted on the Drudge Report. These are heavy-duty Chicago activists saying that the biggest enemy they have are, well, blacks in politics. Those are Chicago activists Paul McKinley, Mark Carter, Joseph Watkins, and Harold Nooney Ward. And they went on record with Rebel Pundit to deliver a message to black communities across the country saying, don't be a fool. Don't just check D, 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 D. They're screwing you. They want to even take away what you already have and give it to illegal aliens. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? This is a revolution. If the black activists down at the street level themselves understand that the socialist commies who are destroying America have no love for them as well, then am I wrong in saying that a civil war was declared on this country when Barry was selected? I'm asking you a question. Barry was selected, and everyone's getting hurt by it because the New World Order wants everyone to go. At least that's one man's opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Oh, let's lighten it up with some Beach Boys. This guy's driving me nuts. How does he do it, I wonder? How do crazy people do it day in and day out? You know, that's what I want to know. You know, a crazy person eventually will crack up from the stress of play the Beach Boy. Can we just all chip in and buy him a T-Bird and a surfboard? Maybe a couple of doobies on the beach in Santa Barbara would calm him down. And maybe he can come back to his good senses. But something's going to happen as sure as I'm sitting here. There's stresses coming up from the mud that I can read. I can read the tea leaves as well as anyone, if not better. The military standing up to Obama on this Ebola deal indicates to me, along with the Citizenship and Immigration Service employees pleading don't let Obama's unilateral amnesty for 34 million illegals go through, means that the government itself has awakened to what I've been telling you for the last 6 years, and which I spell out in 300 pages and stop the coming civil war, which is that we have a lunatic in the White House, in plain English. Now, if you care to comment on any of this, because I think that his speech indicated a tortured soul and a lost soul who is so out of his realm that everything he said contradicted what he said 2 minutes before. I saw that. I never heard anything like this. Listen to what he just said. The lunatic is wanting to bring non-citizens to the United States for Ebola treatment. Now, many of you don't understand epidemiology. I do, because my PhD is in nutritional ethnomedicine from one of the world's great universities, the University of California at Berkeley. And one of my majors was epidemiology. I know what I'm talking about. And pick up an Epidemiology 101 textbook, and you will see that the entire administration is upside down on this. That's number one. Number two, he just said that the military will continue to quarantine troops who come back from Africa after working in the Ebola zones. But he said they're different than our doctors and nurses who were so brave. Does that make sense to you? Why are they different? What he was really saying is that there's been a resistance to his insanity by the men in the military who've said enough is enough. You're not going to wipe out the U.S. military on a whim just because you think that they're going to be safe or because you may want to do something even worse. Something's wrong here. I think that there's been sort of a, how do I put it? There's been a palace guard reaction here that's hard to put my finger on. I have no friends in the military. I have no friends in the media. I have no friends in the government. I suspect that this speech was meant to cover his back on the fact that the military is not bending. He probably wanted to come out and say today that not only will our nurses and doctors, our brave nurses and doctors, not be quarantined, because I don't want them to, but the military has lifted its quarantine on troops. But he couldn't say that because the military has not lifted its quarantine on their troops that Obama's forcing to work at risk of their lives in these Ebola-ridden nations. Do you understand that? And so the military has stood up to him, which is, as far as we can tell, is the first time any element of the government has ever stood up to this this psycho. I don't know what else to say. Something is wrong here. There is something wrong with the picture. I'm trying my best to put my finger on it for you on the Savage Nation. But this big report that came out on Fox News that Obama is planning to bring non-citizens to the U.S. for Ebola treatment is the big story today. Do you think we should bring non-citizens to the U.S. for Ebola treatment? Now it gets even worse. There's rumblings out there where Chicago activists, African-Americans, have turned on Obama. Chicago activists who are African-American have turned on Obama. They have said, my life has been hurt by Democrats. It's because of you, Mr. President. Why should my people even go out to vote? These are African-American men in Chicago standing up to the fraud in the White House. They see it for what it is. It's unheard of. We have the videotape. It's unbelievable what is going on in this country. The president is a man under siege. His own party wants nothing to do with him. Wherever he appears, the candidates' poll numbers drop by 6 to 8 points. They are in free fall. Everyone in America knows this. Now, that's political, and it's well and good. That's how politics work. Okay, they rise from the ashes, and then eventually they go back where they came from. Often, they rise like a phoenix, and they fall into the ashes. His star has fallen, but he plans to bring Ebola-stricken patients from other countries to this nation for treatment. We don't even have the facilities for it. I don't know other words. I hate saying it over and over again. I believe the man has crossed the Rubicon. I think he's crazy. I watch this man speak with that pomposity that I become not accustomed to, but let us say offended by regularly. And he stood there saying, we will defeat this disease. Now, what you have to understand is that's an absurd statement unto itself. What do you mean defeat the disease? How do you do that? It's raging out of control in Africa. You can't defeat the disease. The first rule of epidemics is that they usually burn themselves out. You try to contain them like a forest fire. But you can't defeat them. It's absurd. I don't know who's feeding this information. If it's so difficult to spread casually, Mr. President and Dr. Fauci, how is it that the doctor who was brought back here for treatment contracted Ebola, even though he was following every one of your protocols, Mr. Fauci, wearing a biohazard suit, not touching bodily fluids? How did he catch it, Dr. Fauci, if it's so hard to catch? The answer is you don't know. U.S. soldiers returning from Liberia are being placed in isolation in Vicenza, Italy, for monitoring. You heard it first on the Savage Nation. You will not be hearing this from fake rapper on CNN who has been proven to be the faker he's always been. They said I was wrong. Well, if I'm so wrong, then why has the military placed these soldiers in isolation in Italy? Because they're concerned that they were exposed. They may be spreading it. That's all. In fact, it's so bad that those being monitored, including Major General Darrell Williams, who was the commander of the U.S. Army in Africa, there are currently 11 soldiers now in isolation. And to make matters even more clear to you, for those of you who want something other than the government propaganda on how safe Ebola is, the U.S. troops were met by Carabinieri in full hazmat suits when they arrived in Italy. Did you hear this? And if this policy remains in effect, and let's hope it does, all soldiers returning from Liberia will be placed in isolation for 21 days. 30 more American soldiers to be isolated today, confined to a building and unable to see their families. The decision made by the Army and applies only to soldiers returning from Liberia. The idiotic Defense Secretary, Chuck Bagel, he alone will decide whether to make isolation apply to members of all services. The great Chuck Hagel, a genius, a medical genius, additional military genius, also a medical genius. He's pondering it now. He's eating a bagel somewhere, a bagel and lox with a schmear, and he'll make the decision in consultation with Nancy Fauci. I never saw anything like this. If it was a comedy show, I'd be laughing at it. This is not a comedy. This is a tragedy. They put the commander of the U.S. military's operation in isolation in Italy. What is that telling you? That I was right and they were wrong? Okay, so what is the good of being right when you have a government that's always wrong? What good is it? And what good is it if you are right and you have propagandists like fake rapper on CNN? What good is it? Would you please listen to me? If you're a fan of the Michael Savage Show, I'm not talking about the detractors or the haters, up on michaelsavage.com, stop the coming civil war. My book cover is up there. Stop Obama from declaring martial law. Stop the coming civil war. You press on and it goes to BarnesandNoble.com. The nation, I say, is in real trouble. And that's all in my last nonfiction book of this kind, Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm through. I will never take on such a task again. Never. I'll never do it again. But you have a job to a role to play, which is to display this book wherever you go. Maybe, just maybe, we can save this country come November. Well, Barack Obama just invoked executive privilege for Eric Holder's wife, if you can believe it. But I don't want to lose scope of what happened. Two sheriff's deputies were shot dead by an illegal alien who had been deported twice for selling drugs. He had been sent back to Mexico, and he came back because of Governor Brown's open borders policies, because of Nancy Pelosi's asylum policies, because of Dianne Feinstein's asylum policies. These officers are dead, in my opinion. He was removed in 1997, possession of drugs for sale in Arizona, arrested and sent back to Mexico again in 2001. He was living under multiple identities. So not only was he an illegal alien, he was a criminal illegal alien. So Obama now wants to grant them amnesty to all of them? They don't even know who he is. Mauro Marquez, his father-in-law, told the L.A. Times that he always knew him as Louis Monroy and said his son-in-law worked as a house painter. He said the couple married about 14 years ago in Arizona and moved to Utah a couple of years later. Marquez told the newspaper that he and his wife spent time with them each year around Christmas at their home in West Valley City, a suburb of Salt Lake City. His daughter, Janelle Marquez Monroy, 38, was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder and carjacking on Friday. See, the doll was with her husband during most of the crime spree, which began when Sacramento County Sheriff's Deputy Danny Oliver, 47, was shot dead in the forehead as he checked out a suspicious car in a motel parking lot. The couple are accused of leading authorities in a six-hour chase that included two carjackings before their capture. One motorist who resisted surrendering his car keys was shot in the face by the peaceful, loving asylee. Two deputies who approached the couple on a road were shot with an AR-15 assault rifle. Homicide Detective Michael Davis Jr., 42, died at a hospital. The search of Utah court records for Marcelo Marquez, blah, blah, blah. You get the picture, don't you? But here we go. Krista Sorensen of Salt, here comes, here's Associated Press now. Krista Sorensen of Salt Lake City said Monroy Bracamonte and his brother mowed her lawn and fixed her sprinklers about 4 years ago, describing them as just super nice, decent, hardworking, trying to figure out how to make a living, close quote. They distributed handbills that said Brothers Landscaping. Really? Watch out for the gardener within, is that it? Here's the whole system right now. And this is an example of what happens when you have lunatic, liberal, corrupt lunatic liberals running everything. So what, he's going to grant amnesty now to all the illegals here, including the others who are here hiding on murder and drug running? And who do you think's on the front lines? The cops. And then it'll be you. After the thin blue line is gone, there's no one left but you. Have a nice day and vote Democrat if you want to commit Harry Caray. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, the biggest news today is that there are plans to bring non-citizens into the U.S. for Ebola treatment. Did you hear what I just said? I mean, this is the sickest thing I've ever heard in my life. This man is either a maniac, somebody working for him is an enemy of the state, but somebody has to step in and save this country. A top Republican congressman is telling America that the Obama administration is looking into bringing in non-U.S. citizens infected with Ebola to treat them here. Nobody in the world would recommend that unless they were crazy. Do you understand that? This is the mark of an insane person. USA Today is a middle-of-the-road liberal newspaper. Editorial today, Obama administration is the most dangerous to the media in history. How many times have I been telling you this over the last years? Then this is a shocker. I don't know if you believe him or not. The chairman of the Republican National Committee, Reince Priebus, says that the GOP will stop Obama's un-American amnesty if they win the Senate. Well, I've been hoping that we could do it to do that, right? What do you think? You think they'll actually do it? That's what the whole thesis is of Stop the Coming Civil War. The sound today is sterling. It's unbelievable. There's a piece from Chicago black activists who are attacking Obama and the entire black leadership, saying that they're abusing the black people, that it's not whites doing it. It's the black leadership in the Democrat Party.
Black folks is in an abusive black leadership relationship.
We have to send a message. This is the time for us to send a message.
We always talking about what the Republicans ain't done for us or what they will do to hurt us. My life has been hurt by Democrats.
How do you like that? Governor Christie of New Jersey goes after the CDC.
Asking them to quarantine at home for 21 days unless they're symptomatic, I don't think is draconian. And I think Dr. Fauci is responding, unfortunately, as are many of the people from the CDC, in a really hyperbolic way because they've been wrong before.
That's a good one. There's a sound piece of Mitt Romney saying, Mr. President, you're in charge. Stop passing the buck on Ebola.
There weren't protocols in place in Texas. The CDC was not there guiding the hospital, laying out what should be done. Once again, I understand the president, according to the New York Times, the president was upset and angry at his own people. It's like, you know, Mr. President, you're in charge.
I have no idea what Romney's saying. What would he do differently? What would Romney do differently? As he said, no. Chuck Schumer says Democrats will hold the Senate.
I think we will hold the Senate. You know, I know all the pundits are saying Republicans will take the Senate. Democrats are going to prove the pundits wrong on Election Day when we keep the Senate.
Okay. Rand Paul says everything Obama has touched this year has turned to stone.
Frankly, everything he's touched this year has turned to stone. We still have less jobs in Kentucky than we had 6 years ago.
What kind of stone? I think he means that everything that Obama has touched this year has been touched by a stoner. Susan Page of USA Today says this administration, meaning Mr. Obama, is more dangerous to the press than any administration in American history.
My big fear is that this administration has been more restrictive and more challenging to the press, more dangerous to the press, really, than any administration in American history in terms of legal investigations.
This is amazing. Did you catch this one? The co-founder of the Weather Channel says global warming is a complete hoax. You have to hear it.
Well, I would like to announce tonight to people who are friends of Al Gore's that, whoops, he got that one wrong. The Antarctic ice cap is at an all-time record high in both coverage and thickness, and the Arctic ice cap at the North Pole is at the highest it has been in several years.
Now listen to this on the Savage Nation. You want to hear a topper? A former counterterrorism official says we don't have enough Muslim FBI agents.
We don't have enough Muslim FBI agents. We don't have enough FBI agents who understand Islam. And we don't have enough people in government who are doing counterterrorism who understand 15 to 29-year-olds.
Oh, my God. It gets worse by the day. Well, thanks for listening. There's less than a week left to the election. Less than a week left to tell people what this administration has done and have them check R instead of D, cause an earthquake at the ballot box. Give them a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War and Save America. Thanks for listening, and God bless America.
Savage.